Hi, everyone. I'm Charlie Boyd, and welcome to the Jesus on Display podcast. Before we begin today's content, I wanted just to say thanks for supporting us here at Fellowship Greenville with your gifts and generosity. Because of your giving, we get to share resources like this podcast with you to help reach you wherever you are in your life with Jesus. If you'd like to support the ministry of Fellowship Greenville, you can head to fellowshipgreenville.org/give to get started. Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
In the economics of grace giving, there's a principle, there's a law, like the law of gravity, that you might call the law of the harvest. And the law of the harvest governs how believers should think about what they give and how much they give. And the law of the harvest basically says this: you reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. You reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. But every farmer knows that, right? I mean, if you sow a little corn, or if you sow corn, you get corn. And if you sow a little bit of corn, you get a little bit of corn in a harvest. If you sow a lot of corn, you reap a big harvest of corn. It's a given, it's a law, and you can bank on it because that's exactly what the farmer does. He banks on the law of the harvest. You reap what you sow, and you reap more than you sow. And in the same way, God says, if you learn to be generous with your finances, then you can expect to reap a bountiful harvest. Now look at it. Isn't that what verse 6 says? He says, the point is, whoever sows a little reaps a little, whoever sows a lot reaps a lot. So God has set into effect the law of the harvest, and no one questions whether the law of the harvest works with a field of corn, and God says it also works for finances. So the point is, if you want God involved in your finances, but you're someone who what ifs your way out of being generous because you're afraid of something bad that might happen, listen, then God says the smartest thing you can do is to begin sowing, because sowing is an act of faith that invites God to get involved in your finances in a major way. And once you put your finances into his hands and you start sowing, he says, you don't have to be afraid anymore. Why not? Because when you give to God's work, you're not giving something away, you're making an investment. It's not a loss, right? I mean, no farmer who sows seed loses seed. He gains a crop. And so you see, the reason that we're afraid is because, well, we can't control circumstances and we can't control the future and we can't control God. But God says, I know everything that's gonna happen. I know the future. I'm in control. So why not involve me up front? And the way that you involve me up front is in the way that you give. And as you give generously, I will give back to you what you give away. Now, here you're saying, you mean I could get rich? No. This isn't about getting rich, and we're gonna see that in a minute, but this is about trusting God with your finances so that you're not overcome with worry and fear and anxiety over this uncertainty of the future. And God is saying, again, what you need to fear is not giving. What you need to fear is refusing to sow, because every farmer will tell you, you can't expect a harvest if you don't sow your seed, right? I mean, what happens to the farmer who says, well, I want a big crop, but I just can't see throwing this seed in the ground. I mean, I won't have any more seed if I throw it all away. I mean, what happens to a farmer that thinks that way? He goes under. No farmer thinks that way, because there's absolutely no benefit for a farmer to hoard his seed. No benefit at all. And the best thing a farmer can do, what is what? Sow as much seed as possible. And Paul says it's the same with our money and our stuff. Listen, if this whole discussion about God and money and stuff scares you to death, God says the smartest and wisest thing you can do is to learn to be generous, because a person who sows generously reaps generously. That's God's promise. And if you take him at his word and you give generously, then there's no reason to be afraid of what might happen. Now, the question is, Okay, Charlie, so exactly how much are we talking about here? How much is being generous? And that's what he tells us next. And this is a very interesting answer because you can see right away that no ordinary preacher wrote this. Because this is the most wide open answer to the question, how much should you give that you'll ever hear? Verse 7, each one must give, how much? As he has decided in his heart. How much should I give? Whatever you want to give. No, come on, really. Now, how much should I give? What does he say? Whatever you want to give. Of course, remembering what he's just said, sow a little, reap a little, sow a lot, reap a lot. Then he tells you how to give whatever you decide to give. And he says, give whatever you want, but don't do it reluctantly. Don't do it under compulsion, like you're feeling pressured to give it. What God wants is a cheerful giver. Now, I think what Paul's doing here, he's setting up this contrast between planned giving and pressured giving. It's like Paul is anticipating somebody in Corinth asking the question, okay, Paul, how much? And Paul says, you need to think about it. You need to pray about it. You need to work out a plan. He says you need to plan your giving. Predetermine some percentage you will give off the top of your income and how much you want to give beyond that. Again, he talks a little bit about that in 1 Corinthians 16. He's saying, we're talking generous here, but he's saying plan to give whatever you want to give. In 1 Corinthians 16, he says, I'm not telling you this as a command. This is an invitation to trust God. And so that's the point. So he says, just make sure, and this is important, just make sure that whatever you give, give it with no remorse, no regret, no reluctance, no guilt, no grumbling, and don't give because you feel pressured to, because not any of that honors God. God loves it when you give willingly and generously and cheerfully. And he's saying in one sense that the way you give is more important than what you give. For sure, he doesn't want them or us to give out of guilt. You ever hear a preacher say, if you don't give your 10%, God's gonna come and he's gonna take it some other way. Like, I grew up in churches like that. Do you hear Paul saying anything close to that? Absolutely not. He's saying God doesn't want you to give out of guilt or should or have to. He doesn't want to give you to give because you feel pressured or manipulated to give. He doesn't want you to give impulsively. He doesn't want you to give and grumble about it. Paul says this should be a prayerful thing, a thoughtful thing, a planned thing, something you have considered carefully, taking into consideration how God's blessed you, taking into consideration what God says about sowing. If you sow a little, you reap a little. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. And he's saying, I can't decide that for you. I can't tell you what generous means for you. You have to decide that. And then whatever the Spirit leads you to do, give that amount cheerfully. So you get alone with God and you pray, God, here's my bucket of seed. And you know how much is in it. And God, in light of the fact that you want me to be generous with your stuff, in light of the fact that I want to be a cheerful giver, in light of the fact that I really do believe everything comes from you and belongs to you and is distributed by you, God, would you show me and my family how much we're to give on a regular basis to the ongoing ministry of this church? And then, God, would you show me and my family how much we're to give over and above that to partner with you in this capital campaign and in giving to missions and benevolence and to other ministries outside the walls of the church? Listen, it's that kind of prayer. That kind of prayer is how you invite God to be deeply involved in your finances. That's how you learn to trust God with your finances and your future. That's how you determine what generous giving means for you by seeking God. And that's how generous givers become cheerful givers. Becoming a cheerful giver is the result of going through a careful, prayerful process of predetermining what generous giving means for you. Now, Paul fleshes out exactly what this promise about sowing and reaping actually means in verses 8 through 11, and he tells us why God applies the law of the harvest to our giving. And it has far more to do with God and other people than it has to do with us. Verse 8, look at this. And as a result of your faithful, cheerful, generous giving, and God is able to make all. Now you need to underline every all in this passage if you got your Bible open. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Now let me give you my paraphrase of this to give you the sense of it in the plainest language possible. When you give generously, this is God's promise, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, you will have all you need for every good work. Look at it again. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, you will have all you need for every good work. He's saying because of your willingness to give generously in proportion to how God has blessed you, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, you will have all you need for every good work. Now, can you get any more financially secure than that? I hear you. You're saying, well, Charlie, are you saying that if I commit to generous pre-planned giving of some kind, that God promises that in all things, at all times, I'll have everything I need for every good work? Is that what you're saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. But that's not me saying it, right? Look at the text. That's what God is saying, and that's true financial security. God is saying, now that you're sowing, now that you're giving off the top cheerfully a predetermined amount that you've determined in your heart to invest in what I'm doing, God says, let me tell you what I'm able to do. I'm able to give you all things at any time so that you'll have all you need. Here's the key. So that you can continue to give generously to my work. This is the difference between prosperity theology and Paul's theology of giving. Paul does not subscribe to prosperity theology. He's teaching generosity theology. The promise is not about getting rich for personal gain. It's about getting to be even more generous. This is a promise about God giving you even more opportunities to invest in his work because he knows that when you see people's lives change, it brings joy and happiness and blessing. And it's about God giving you more so that you can invest it in every good work he puts in front of you and tells you to invest in. Paul does not teach prosperity theology. He teaches generosity theology. He's not promising to make you rich. He's promising to replenish what you give away with more. Here's the focus. So you can give more away to God's work. Let me put it this way. This is the big idea. God blesses generous givers so we can be even more generous. He blesses generous givers so we can be even more generous. So what's there to be afraid of? Well, I mean, some of us are kind of like, God, I'd like to give more, but you know, I want all things when I want them to make sure I always have what I need at all times. That's why we hold out on God. I want things when I want them to ensure I'll always have what I need when I need it at all times. And God says, you're absolutely free to make that choice. He's not giving us a command here. You're free to make that choice, but you know you really can't do that, right? You can't actually make yourself financially secure because there are too many things going on that you cannot control. But he says, I am in control of all things, and if you put your finances and your future in my hands, if you learn to sow generously by giving to my work, I will refill your bucket over and over again because I'm God and I can easily give back to you what you've given away. Just trust me with what I've given to you to manage for me. And when faith overcomes your fear in this area of finance, then God says, I'm able to make all grace abound to you so that having all you need at all times, you can continue to generously give to further my mission in the world. And that's why God has chosen to apply the law of the harvest to a Christian's finances. Look at verse 9. As it is written, he quotes this promise from the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is full of these promises just like this. Psalm 112, the one who has distributed freely, he who has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed, your money and resources, your seed for what? Look at it. For what? For sowing and increasing the harvest of your righteousness. He says it again, verse 11, you will be enriched. Literally, you will be made rich. And you're going, woohoo, this is it. Yeah, baby, this is what I wanted to hear. Honey, write the check. No. Look at it. You will be enriched. Look at it. In every way. Why? To be generous in every way. See it? God will give back what you give away so you can continue to give generously to future opportunities that God invites you to be a part of. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way. That's the promise. It is not about personal gain. It's about advancing the mission of Jesus in the world. It's not prosperity theology, but it is generosity theology. Now, I want you to see this in the text. Look at it again. It couldn't be clear. In verse 8, he says, when we sow generously, God replenishes our seed. Why? So we can sow again for every good work that God invites us into. Verse 10, he says, God supplies our seed and multiplies our seed. Why? For sowing, so we can give even more. And in verse 11, Paul says, you will be enriched in every way. Why? So you can be generous in every way. Again, there's nothing in this passage about getting rich for personal gain. God promises to bless generous givers so they can partner with him in the work that he's doing in people's lives, to change people's lives. So again, big idea, God blesses generous givers so we can be even more generous. And he is saying, if you involve me deeply in your finances, not only am I able to meet whatever needs you might have, but I'll make you this promise. I'll continue to supply and multiply your ability to give generously to what I'm doing to change lives. Now, he talks about how God blesses people through our giving. Look at it. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us, through our giving, will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saint, but it's overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. You see in this, the people whose lives are changed because of your investment in God's work, the friends you make by investing in God's work, they're thankful for you and your generosity, but even more, they thank God for what he has given to them through you. Verse 13. By their approval of this service, in other words, by their accepting your generous gift, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all of the others while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable, inexpressible gift. This is absolutely mind-blowing. This takes giving to so high, much higher a level. Here's the whole story. Here's the whole story of what he's saying in this passage. Paul is saying, when you give generously and cheerfully to God's work in changing people's lives, one, you'll be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. Two, people's needs will be met. And three, God will be glorified through many people giving thanks to God. Are you seeing this? And then he ties everything back to the gospel of Christ, to the grace that we have received in the gospel of Christ. It ties us back to ultimately the indescribable gift, who is Jesus, who is Jesus. Oh, God forbid that any of us would ever think that what we give to support the ongoing ministry of this church, or what we give toward a capital campaign, or what we give to missions and benevolence, or what we give to people helping ministries outside the walls of this place, God forbid that we would ever think that what we give away is anything less than giving to God's work to change people's lives, as anything less than making much of God and the inexpressible grace that we've received in the gospel. Fellowship, we are a much blessed people. God's surpassing grace has been poured out on us, on this church, for just at 77 years. And those who came before us, they had to count the cost of what it meant to make room for more people as God was graciously increasing their number. As I've said before, you're sitting in someone else's sacrifice. You're sitting in the seat of somebody else's generosity. And so do you see, we face the same question that they faced. Will you give generously? Will you give sacrificially so that those who come after us will thank God for you like we thank God for those who came before us? That's what it's all about.
The Jesus on Display podcast is produced right here at Fellowship Greenville in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening to today's episode. Follow and share this podcast with anyone who might be interested or curious about our church community or how storytelling unites us and helps us feel more connected. To actively keep up with what's going on at our church community, head to our website at fellowshipgreenville.org. Follow us on all social media platforms and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks for tuning in. Grace and peace to you for your week, and we'll see you next time.